He's described by many as a soul singer with a funky twist. And now Cliff Beach joins us in the studio.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hi, AfterBuzzers, and welcome to Mini Spotlight, where we highlight rising stars in music, TV, and film. I'm your host, Amy Cassandra Martinez, and we are joined by Cliff Beach today. Hi, and welcome.
Thank you for having me, Amy. So happy to be here.
Yes, of course. Okay, we're gonna start things off a little differently today. Want you to first to talk about the first experience you had with music ever.
Okay. I started taking piano lessons around 5 years old.
Aww.
And then I grew up all through elementary school, middle school, high school, doing choirs, traveling around the country, doing show choirs and festivals and things like that.
Wait.
And I grew up in church as well, playing a lot of music.
So show choirs is slightly different from your regular kind of choir.
Correct.
Right. How so?
Show choirs incorporate dance into the music as well. And I did a lot of musical theater that incorporated dance as well.
Oh my gosh. Wow. What was the first time that you realized, like, hey, I want to try to do this, you know, go into the singing world, but then also when you realize I want to stay in this, this is what I want to do?
Basically, I didn't think that I was going to go into music full-time as a career, but there was a pastor when I was growing up who said, you have talent that you should do it. And so that pushed me to then want to go to music school and learn more.
And what about the first time that you decided to start playing piano? What was that like? You were like, oh, hey, that makes a really cool sound. I want to try that. Or what was that like?
No, I was forced to take lessons, and I hated it.
What?
And I would always see kids outside my window, like, playing, and I would have to practice. And no kids want to practice.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think it's not until you get older where you're able to, like, pick songs, and you're like, I hear something on the radio, and I want to pluck it out on the piano. Then you start to kind of get more encouraged in your playing.
So you were five, you said.
Yes.
So I started playing violin when I was in fifth grade.
Okay.
And I can feel your pain when you say that you saw people having fun outside, like especially during summer.
Right.
When it's like all you want to do is just hang out, but you would have to practice.
Of course.
But how do you think that shaped you, like, in your music career, you know, even starting at 5 years old playing the piano?
In a variety of ways. I mean, you get such a... I mean, music is really about learning and doing, so you just, as you progress through school, you try new things.
Mm-hmm.
I also liked getting out of class for certain music classes, too.
I mean, I feel you on that one. I also ended up taking, like, pep squad, so I wouldn't have to do regular PE.
Exactly.
So no matter how we get to it, I think as long as we start, you know, letting our creative juices flow, you just never know where that's going to lead you.
Right.
You know? What was the first, like, song that you remember listening to and liking a lot?
Well, my mom says the story that I grew up listening to Aretha Franklin, so there was a really big Aretha Franklin song that I would sing in the car. I don't remember that, but she says as a baby,
what?
She would just see me moving back and forth singing Freeway of Love over and
Freeway.
Over.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so cute. See, well, and like I said earlier, so you're described by many as a soul singer with a funky twist.
Yes.
Where do you think that originated from, that funky twist?
The funky twist originated when I went to school. So I went to music school at 16 in Boston at Berklee College of Music.
Yes! Guys, so, that's a really big deal.
Yeah, awesome. So John Mayer went there, Susan Tedeschi, Quincy Jones, a lot of people have gone through the halls of Berklee, and they're very, very good at what they do. But I had a friend that was a blues singer, and she was saying, but you really like funk music, and you like taking a different twist on music, and it'll help you stand out more to kind of go down that path. So I've decided to go down a more niche path. But I believe all music has soul. So I listen to country, I listen to classical, whatever it is. I feel like there's a lot of feeling in it.
That's a really good quote, guys. You said, I feel all music has soul, which is true.
Right.
And I think when you listen to music, heck, in the car, in the shower, wherever you're listening to it, you can feel that singer's soul through their music. I know this is, like, intensely, like, a very difficult question to answer, but is there, like, a song or two that every single time you hear it, you're like, dang, I feel the soul?
For sure. I'm a huge fan of John Legend, and one of his first songs he was writing with will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas called Ordinary People. And,
yes!
I just feel a lot of soul when I listen to him sing. He could sing The Phone Book to me and I'd be happy.
Oh yeah, The Phone Book. I like that. Okay, so let's talk about what you're working on. We're going to talk about Delilah first.
Yes.
So that is the single
Correct.
That's part of the album.
Yes.
And the album's name is?
The Gospel According to Cliff Beach.
which is so cool. I just wanted you to say the title. Where did that title come from? What inspired the whole album? Basically, tell us everything.
Sure. So I grew up in gospel music, growing up at home in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. I come from a family of ministers, so there's a lot of different ministers in my family. And I see a lot of similarities between people preaching on the pulpit and people performing on the stage. It's really about a transference of feeling. Mm-hmm. So by creating this album, I wanted to make a gospel album that would be for all people. So not necessarily people of that faith. They would still be able to appreciate the excitement, the joy that comes from that type of music.
Oh my gosh. And that's what I love. I think I also grew up in church and singing. I do this, podcast listeners. I'm just, clapping my hands. You can hear it. But that's something that if you get started as a child, really appreciating that, religion, whether you believe in God or not, it's just having that community,
right,
and also being welcoming of everyone. And if you can do that with music, I'm just like, dang, that's awesome.
Of course.
So Delilah,
yes,
is not about one person in particular.
Correct.
So how did that come about?
So I was at a Sarah Bareilles concert and with an ex-girlfriend, and she was singing a song about fairy tales, and I thought the song was cool, and I thought to myself, how could I write a song about a fairy tale or something I grew up watching or listening that I thought would be interesting? And since I did grow up in church, the story of Samson and Delilah was always very powerful, mm-hmm, for me. Having a man that was really strong become so weak based on the trickery that this relationship puts on him, unfortunately, from Delilah. And so I thought I would modernize that by creating a song that is a composite of a lot of different negative aspects of relationships all into one.
Where do you hope people will listen to Delilah? Like, when you imagine people listening to Delilah, where do you want them to be?
I live in Los Angeles, so I imagine people are mostly commuters, so I imagine people listening to it in the car.
Oh, yeah, belting out in the car, because we all do that. Let's be real. I think we all just put on Sarah Bareilles or, this guy I've heard is pretty cool, Cliff Beach, we do that too. Do you have any certain kind of inspirations musical inspirations when you're writing a song?
Definitely. I mean, I listen to so much music. I'm on Spotify all the time, constantly discovering new music.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of people that are doing great things, but I like right now Kendrick Lamar.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. Sorry. Got very, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I love his way of storytelling, and I mean, he just won a Pulitzer Prize for his album.
Isn't that crazy?
One of the first non-classical, non-jazz albums to ever win.
So I love that.
Amazing. And then, of course, I love Bruno Mars. I love, mm-hmm, the way he sings and the way he's able to, he's been so good at bringing back like older styles of music and making them popular. So I think it's a really good time for me to be releasing the type of content that I'm doing now.
Like Finesse is right?
And with Cardi B as well.
Cardi B. I love Cardi B. There's something so relatable about her that she just kind of says it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like as a songwriter as well that it's sometimes a little bit difficult to break that wall and really be super organic and authentic? Do you?
I think it is, but I think it's part of the artistic process. Mm-hmm. As you go through the process, you want to become more real. And I've also noticed the combination or a correlation that everything is really storytelling. So you hosting this show, that's telling a story. Me creating music, that's telling a story.
That's true.
Or watching a film or TV or whatever it is, having a public relations marketing, they're telling stories. They're telling you about this product, telling you about what you should do, this service, that kind of thing. So everything underlying is stories. And throughout history, we see that stories are the things that are passed down because people remember them the best.
Mm-hmm. And especially songs. And if you guys want to experience his story, you are doing a little something on Friday, June 22nd. Tell us what it is, where it is, please.
Yes. So the single for Delilah, the radio edit, will get released worldwide on all of your streaming channels. On YouTube, we'll be releasing the video for Delilah, and it's amazing. We feature burlesque dancer Darling Nikki from Lolita's Burlesque, based right on the west side in Santa Monica. We'll be having a release show at Harvell's in Santa Monica as well. We have the whole night. We have five great bands. We have the GR3, Jay and the Wee. We have myself. We have Darling Nikki and Ginger Lee Bell. They're going to be dancing. We have Kimika, which is a Latin band, as well as the Freedom Ledges closing the night. So it's going to be a great, great night of music.
Oh my gosh, that sounds really fun. Now, last little question for you. You could just send yourself like a time capsule message for 10 years down the line. What would you tell yourself?
Start earlier.
Start what? No.
I would tell myself to continue doing what you're doing. There's no better time to be doing what you're doing than right now.
Oh, I like that. There's no better time than now.
Correct.
Too. If you could just tell everyone where they can find you on social media so they can follow you and subscribe and, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I would love for all of the AfterBuzz TV people, Spotlight watchers, to download, listen to this, continue supporting this great, great hosting platform. And you can check out all of my great music on at Cliff Beach Music at any of the social media.
I like that you keep it simple. Like for all of us, Cliff Beach Music.
Correct.
Bam. Everywhere. And then, of course, Friday, June 22nd. I was going to say January. No, we're halfway through the year, guys. How crazy. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited for everything that you're going to be doing and for everyone to listen to it as well. And thank you guys so much for watching again. I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez, and you can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. See you guys next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.